Thank you, choir, and for the next few minutes, I hope you will tune in to what God has to say for us. We've been studying why study Bible prophecy. We've learned that at least a fourth of the Bible deals with Bible prophecy. And let me just sort of encapsulate in a few words last Sunday morning's sermon for those of you that were out on spring break, because I do want you to get this. Let me just start by saying the nation of Israel, God called the Jewish people to be his covenant people. When they wanted a king, King Saul became the first king. The second king was followed was King David. And the third king that would follow King David was King David's son, Solomon. After Solomon reigned, then his son, the fourth king, was Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a very evil king. He was a very wicked king. And it was during his reign that the 12 tribes of Israel split apart. 10 of the tribes were called Israel, and they were the northern kingdom. The other two tribes were called Judah, and they were the southern kingdom. Now, God allowed the Assyrians to take the northern kingdom, those 10 tribes, into captivity until they could come to a place of repenting of their sins before Almighty God. The other two tribes, the tribes of Judah, were down in the land of Judah and Jerusalem and in that area. And under the reign of the Babylonian kingdom, those two tribes were carried off into Babylonian captivity. They would remain in captivity for 70 years because of their sins. They did not learn from the other 10 tribes what God wanted them to learn, and so God allowed the Babylonians to take them captive. It was there that Daniel and his friends were taken to the land of Babylon. Now, while Daniel is there, and they long to go back to their homeland and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And after 70 years, they would go back to do that. But God gave Daniel a vision for the nation of Israel, that God was going to give so many years to complete his program with the nation of Israel. And in the book of Daniel, it speaks about this program. In fact, it was 70 weeks before God would be finished with the nation of Israel, and we went through those things last Sunday morning. Those 70 weeks, each week, represented 7 years each. So the angel Gabriel said to Daniel, there's going to be 70 weeks for God to complete his program. There's going to be 70 sevens. So 70 weeks, and each week representing 7 years, 7 times 70 is 490 years. Well, we have gone through 69 of those weeks. There's only 1 week left for God to finish his program, and that will be the time of the tribulation. That will be the last 70 years. 483 years had passed, and so Daniel asked Gabriel the question, when does this all begin? And we spoke that God, if God had this imaginary stopwatch, and that when did God put the pause on the stopwatch? Well, the angel Gabriel said that and once the decree is given for the children of Israel to go back after their 70 years of captivity to build the city of Jerusalem, that began the countdown of this 490-year period that God was going to have with the nation of Israel to complete his program. Now, we said in the book of Daniel, Gabriel said, until Messiah comes. Well, we said that meant we believed that when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and would be crucified, that would fulfill the 69 of the 70 weeks that had been prophesied about. And we said that when the Jews rejected Jesus as their Messiah, if we could imagine that God just had a stopwatch and he clicked it on pause, because when Gabriel came to Daniel, it was 2,500 years, and so how do you reconcile 490 years to complete the program of Israel, and yet that had been 2,500 years since the book of Daniel? And we said, well, God, if God had an imaginary stopwatch, when the nation of Israel rejected Jesus when he came, God stopped that stopwatch, and you and I have been living for the past 2,000 years in the age of grace. When God died on the cross, shed his blood for the remission of sins, we are living in the age of God's grace. God put the Jews on hold, and he turned to the Gentile nation, everybody that was not Jewish, to give an opportunity to come and become heirs of the Abrahamic covenant. And so, you and I have been living for over 2,000 years in the church age, or the age of grace. We've sung about that this morning, God's wonderful gift of grace. One of these days, God will, when the last person is saved in the age of grace, God will begin the stop clock again. In the last 7 years of the tribulation will begin. What is the tribulation for? Two things. Number one is to bring Israel to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that every Jew will be saved? No. It means those that will be saved are going to be saved. Secondly, the tribulation is to bring wrath and condemnation upon this unbelieving world that has rejected Christ. And so those are the two purposes for the tribulation. So you and I are living in this age of grace. There's 1 week left of Daniel's prophecy that will be for 7 years. It will be known as the tribulation, and it brings me this morning to where we are. The Bible gives that last 7 years, that 70th week, it gives it a variety of names. Sometimes it's referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble or the time of Jacob's distress. It's called also Daniel's 70th week. It's also referred to as the tribulation. But the most common biblical name is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, when God will pour out his judgment upon this earth. Listen to what Joel said in Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Listen to what Amos the prophet said in Amos chapter 5, verses 18 and verse 20. Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light, even gloom? With no brightness in it. Then listen to what the Old Testament writer Zephaniah said in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord, a day of wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And then the Apostle Paul discussed this chronology and the characteristics of the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians when he spoke about in chapters 4 and chapter 5. After explaining the rapture when the church is gone out of here, Paul continued by describing the event that's going to take place after the rapture, the day of the Lord, or Daniel's 70th week, if you will. Or the day of Jacob's trouble, Jacob meaning Israel, the day of Jacob's distress, Jacob's trouble. Notice what Paul said after the church is raptured out of here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, now as to the times and the epochs or seasons there, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief. Now, there are three important truths about this day of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes after, I believe, the rapture. Once again, there are different views, different interpretations. Please feel free to study it out and choose what you believe. I've studied it for a long time. I'm in a great camp of great guys that are very conservative in their theology and Bible prophecy. And I've studied them for many, many, many years. And I just happen to fall into the same camp they do. W.A. Criswell, former pastor of First Baptist Dallas for 50 years. Presently, Robert Jeffries of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Jack Graham there in Texas, James Merritt, Charles Stanley, Billy Graham, and John Hagee. I could go on and on and on of those guys that are in the same camp that I believe the Scripture is teaching. Well, the day of the Lord comes after the church is out of here, and the day of the Lord is a time of judgment, as I said, to bring Israel to a saving knowledge of Jesus and to bring wrath upon this unbelieving world. Christians need not fear the day of the Lord. I believe the Christians will be out of here. The Bible says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who be in Christ Jesus. Let me give you this morning the major events of this last 7 years of history, whenever it starts at some point on God's prophetic calendar. The major events of the tribulation in Act 1, if you will, the beginning of the tribulation, the church will be gone. The world will be in disarray. This world will be in such a state of panic. Whatever may happen that may coincide even with the rapture, whether it'll be some cataclysmic event that takes place or some great economic fluctuation or depression or whatever it may be. At the very beginning of the tribulation, this last seven years of history, we divide it into the first 3.5 years called the tribulation, the last 3.5 years we refer to as the great tribulation that Jesus himself spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. What's going to happen at the beginning of the first 3.5 years? Well, first of all, there is going to rise on the scene what is known as the Antichrist. He'll be a one world leader. I believe he will come out of the Gentile nation. The Bible says he comes out of the sea, speaking of the masses of the people. I believe he will be from the revived Roman Empire. This one world leader, he will have all of the charisma that you've ever seen in all of your life put together. He will be an incredible speaker. He will be impeccable in every way intellectually. He will capture, he will mesmerize the masses of the people. He will be a one world leader, a one world dictator, and he comes to power after Christians are removed from the earth. He will rule over a 10-league nation. In fact, they've already got the world divided up into those nations one of these days. He will oppose anything that is about God Almighty. So in the first 3.5 years, there will be the rise of this one world leader. He will make a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He will tell them they can rebuild their temple. They can reinstitute their sacrificial sacrifices of animal sacrifices, blood sacrifices to atone for their sins. They've already made all of the temple sacraments. If you go and Google the temple instrument or the, you can find where they've already made the clothes for the high priest. They've made the sacraments and the laver and the menorah and all of those kinds of things. And so he will make a peace treaty with them. And then there is going to be the rise of a false prophet. He's going to be probably a religious leader, and there will be this one world church. This world church, the false prophet will lead. This church will look like it's an authentic church. It will look like it's legitimate, but underneath it will not have the basic tenets of Christianity. It will probably be an amalgamation of various religions of the world all mixed into one deal. And the false prophet will take and he will promote the Antichrist agenda. But after the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will break his peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And the Antichrist will no longer need this false church, and he will destroy it. And in the middle of the 7-year period, in the middle of that, he will set himself up in the temple to be worshiped as God himself. That's what is referred to as the abomination of desolation in the Bible. In fact, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18 says, "And he, the false prophet, causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or in their forehead. And he provides no one, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the number of his name is 666. Young people, what will this be? Where people that are left here upon the earth, they will not be able to buy, they won't be able to sell unless they have this mark of this world dictator either on their forehead or on their hand. What will it be? A microchip? I mean, they've already got microchips now all over the world. If you keep up with world news, you'll read about where they've already got a lot of these stored. Will it be a tattoo? I mean, we live in the world of tattoos. And so it will be something out there that will identify to say that you cannot buy and sell without that mark. Those who take that mark during this last 7 years of history will be lost forever. They will have rejected Christ, and they will have taken this mark of this one world Antichrist leader, and they are lost for all eternity. What is something else that's going to happen? The rise of the Antichrist at the beginning of the last 7 years, at the very beginning, the rise of the world dictator. Secondly, will be the rise of the false religious leader to promote the Antichrist agenda. And then thirdly, there's going to be the sealing of this 144,000 Jewish evangelists that God is going to seal with his own seal. They will be supernaturally protected, and they're going to go out and try to win people to Jesus during this time. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle John describes this. He says, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." Notice John said, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel." It's very interesting when you read about this. The Seventh-day Adventists, think this is a reference to their members, since they meet on the Sabbath, and they think that will happen when Christ returns. I don't know what happens when they go beyond 144,000 members. I think they've already exceeded that. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that John had their group in mind when he penned those words. Well, I want you to know, if you fall into the camp and believe in the post-tribulation rapture, they believe that the 144,000 represents the church, because they see people being on earth during the tribulation, and so somehow they've interpreted that to mean the church. But when you read what John just wrote in Revelation chapter 7, he clearly identifies who the 144,000 are. He says that it's 144,000 from the tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, 12,000 from every tribe. 12 times 12, young people, is still 144,000. 12,000 times 12. 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and they will go out and they will try to witness for Jesus. John described the results. The results of their ministry. Look what John said in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 14. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, these will be saved during that 7-year period of tribulation. These will be martyred Christians because they trusted Jesus. They will give their lives. They will be persecuted for their Christianity. So the major events in the first part of the tribulation are the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the false prophet, and God will seal 144,000 Jews to go out there and witness. Act number 2. What are the major events of the tribulation at the midpoint of the tribulation? Well, the prophet Daniel, the apostle John, and Jesus Christ himself all gave us some information about this. After the first 3.5 years, we mentioned Antichrist breaks his peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And Daniel and Matthew and the book of Revelation all give insight into this turning point about this world ruler and the revived Roman Empire. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, Daniel says, "And he," speaking of this Antichrist, "will make a covenant with the many, for 1 week," that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, that's at the end of the first 3.5 years, "he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." In Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, "I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them," speaking of the Antichrist persecuting the Christians. Daniel 11, 45, "he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him." You see, the book of Revelation says that this persecution that the Antichrist is going to bring on people who trust Christ there, the duration is going to be only for 3.5 years there, or for 42 months, or for 1,260 days, same amount of time. 3.5 years is the same as 42 months, as 1,260 days that the book of Daniel speaks about all of those. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 2, John's writing and is told to leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it's been given to the nations. And they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months, that's 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, and I will grant authority, notice, to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy. That means, young people, they'll preach. How long? For 1,260 days. How long is that? 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. All three of those figures mean exactly the same day, the same amount of time, clothed in sackcloth. Now get the picture. How are people going to be saved during the tribulation? God is going to seal 144,000 Jews that will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They are going to be witnesses for Jesus. They'll be supernaturally protected. They will not have destruction. God's also going to have two other witnesses out there that God is going to bring into the scene. Now, most Bible prophecy preachers and teachers believe one for sure is Elijah. Anybody ever heard of Elijah? We just got through doing a study on Elijah on Sunday morning. Elijah never died. God just took him one day. Others think that the other witness is going to be Moses, because Moses and Elijah represent the prophets and the law. And they also are on the Mount of Transfiguration in the book of Matthew with Jesus when he showed that to Peter, James, and John. Others think it's going to be Elijah and Enoch. Whoever these two witnesses are, God is going to use them during the days of the tribulation. Notice, if you will, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is speaking about the end of times. He says, therefore, when you see, he's speaking about those that are left on the earth during this time. Therefore, when you see, get the phrase, the abomination of desolation. What is that? It's when this one world leader, the Antichrist, when he decides he doesn't need the false church anymore, he's going to be worshipped as God Almighty himself, and he breaks his peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He sets up his image in the temple to be worshipped as God himself. That is the abomination of desolation. Now, it's not hard to figure out how could that be today. With computers, with talking robots, can you see how easy it is for you and me to understand what's happening during this period of time? When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through who? Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. That's Jesus. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Let me give you Act number 3, and I'm finished for this morning. The major events of the tribulation, Act number 3, Earth's final hours. Jesus described the final 3.5 years as the great tribulation. Look in Matthew chapter 24 as Jesus spoke about it in verse 21 and 22. The great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, that will be those that will be saved during that time, that elect, those days will be cut short. Let me tell you, when you study the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 6 all the way through chapter 19, you see God is going to pour out judgment upon this earth. Let me give it to you this morning and I'm through. In Revelation chapter 6 are the seal judgments. Young people, this is what the Bible says is going to happen during these seal judgments. The rise of the Antichrist. There's going to be war. There's going to be famine. People will be starving to death. There's going to be death from famine. that's going to destroy, the Bible says, 1/4 of the world's population during that 7 years. Martyrdom is going to be for those that convert to Christ. And then there's going to be a cosmological disturbances all over that's going to be going on. Those are some of the things, the judgments that's going to happen. Diseases and pestilences that are going to be rampant. I read just this week where the medieval diseases are coming back into existence. Antibiotics are not taking care of those things. They're resistant to these antibiotics that are out there. Well, those are the seal judgments. What's going to happen during the trumpet judgments? Well, the first trumpet sounds, and there's going to be all kinds of problems in nature out there. There's a mixture of hell and fire, and it's going to destroy 1/3 of the earth's vegetation. The second trumpet is going to involve something like a great mountain burning with fire, falling into the sea. Young people, maybe it's an asteroid. If you watch those who track space, there's hundreds of pieces of debris out there in the Earth's atmosphere. There are asteroids that are miles and miles wide. Some of them have come close to hitting the Earth. I can see how all of this will happen one of these days. Whatever this great mountain is, this judgment destroys, according to the book of Revelation, 1/3 of all of the marine life out there in the oceans. It will destroy 1/3 of the ships that are out there. Can imagine what that will do to commerce. It will result in an ecological and an economic disaster. During those judgments, a falling star, the Bible says, destroys 1/3 of the earth's freshwater supply. The fourth trumpet sounds, and it involves the rotation of the earth and the moon, causing great fluctuations in temperatures. The fifth trumpet describes Satan, this star falling from heaven, who unleashes demonic torments and persecutes mankind, except for that 144,000 that are sealed by God. They're described in the book of Revelation as locusts with a sting that is comparable to a scorpion. And the Bible says people will beg to die because of their pain, but they will not be able to. And that torment lasts for 5 months. Revelation says the sixth trumpet involves the assembling of a massive army of 200 million soldiers that are going to come from the east. With this war, 1/3 of those living on the earth during that time are killed. And when you add that 1/3 to the others that are already killed under these other judgments, you've already taken 1/2 of the world's population that will be destroyed. No wonder Jesus said, unless those days are shortened, no one would survive. Here are the last judgments God's going to send. They're called the bowl judgments. They are the seal judgments. There are the trumpet judgments. And there are the bowl judgments. Here are the bowl judgments. Notice in Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 through 19, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty, the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. Let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you better get to know him. Amen? He's coming one of these days. Why is God going to bring the tribulation? God's going to bring the tribulation because God is a patient God. And that song we sang about a few moments ago about grace, let me tell you, God is a loving God. He's a holy God. And if he's a holy God, then God must punish sin upon this earth. God has given mankind a long extension to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the world is pushing him further and further away. And Christians are being persecuted more and more and more every single day. Why the tribulation? God is a God of grace. God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all, it's inclusive, all. When he said all, he meant all. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For some 2,000 years, you and I are living in the age of grace. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, the problem is mankind doesn't want to be saved because man wants to do what man wants to do. I look at people and people will say, well, let me tell you, I just can't worship a God like that. I can worship a God who loves, but I cannot worship a God of wrath. Well, let me tell you, if God is a holy God, and he is, then God has to punish the wrath of the judgment of sin upon this world. My final scripture is Ezekiel 33:11. Look what God said. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then God says, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? What'd God do? We could think about an imaginary stopwatch. God stopped the watch when he came into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, would die on the cross the following week. The Jews rejected him. They weren't looking for this kind of Messiah. And they rejected him. And I believe God stopped his program right there. That's what Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter 11 are about in the Bible. It's the pause. It's the pause of this imaginary time watch that God paused the button. And he'll deal with the nation of Israel during that last week of Daniel's prophecy, that tribulation period. What'd God do? God turned to us. God intended for us to be in his program to begin with. The Bible says, to the Jew first, they rejected him. To the Greek also. We've been living in God's program for some 2,000 years. When we're gone out of here, the stopwatch starts and the 7-year countdown begins. The real question is this: regardless of what you believe, regardless of what interpretation you take, the big deal is this. Do you know that you know that you know that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart? That's the important thing. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together?